morning, here is the news, read by Hortensia Gam. First, the main points. West Region researchers have recommended a detour on the Nchang Cliff to prevent future landslides. Plus, top 25 youth-led business projects in Bamenda have been selected for funding at the upcoming Youth Great Minds Summit coming up on November 22nd. And in sports, Cameroon has won its first medal in bronze at the World Sambo Championship that is underway in Kazakhstan. Those were our top stories, and now the news in detail. A group of experts from the University of Nchang has concluded that the recent landslide at Nchang was caused by water accumulation in the rocks and soil vibrations from heavy duty trucks passing on the slope. The team, led by volcanologist Professor Kagu Dongmo Armang, has recommended construction of a detour of evacuating the remaining soil at the accident site. Eric Langmiawufo has the details from CRTV West.
The researchers, led by volcanologist Professor Kagu Dongmo Armang, have attributed the disaster to the saturation of the soil by water due to the heavy downpour experienced in the region this year.
After heavy rainfall, water enter inside the soil, our able to disequilibrate the stability of the hill. With the saturation of the soil by water, the environment was subject to vibration according to traffic. The main traffic around this area and material just fell down.
He has cautioned that another mass movement may occur again if action is not taken.
If the solution is to evacuate the soil, excavate everything, we do it, is to explode everything around the place, we do it. It can be also to make a deviation.
In the meantime, the Nchang Council, led by the mayor, Jacques Kamler, is advocating for the creation of a deviation away from the cliff.
To have a route which can be created so that this mountain will not have it in our mind again. The first thing we have done was to send our technician on the field. They have taken the route built by the German. On that route, we don't have mountain. And something like 24 kilometers when you leave Ntenge, which is in Chang, but before this falaise.
Rescue operations are still actively ongoing to recover the rest of the persons still trapped in the soil. Families of those affected have been identifying the corpses and retrieving them. One new corpse has been recovered, taking the total to 12. Eric Langmiawufo, CRTV News, Chang.
Elsewhere, Cameroon's Minister of External Relations, Mbela Mbela, and his Russian counterpart, Sergei Lavrov, have been discussing strategies to improve the bilateral relations between both countries in the field of security. The conversations are taking place at the ongoing maiden edition of the Russia-Africa Ministerial Conference that opened today in Sochi City. Charles Ebune has the details in this report.
Just last year, Cameroon and Russia established a free visa zone for the holders of diplomatic and service passports. This was during the second Africa-Russia summit held in St. Petersburg and attended by African leaders, amongst them President Paul Biya. One of the key resolutions was the establishment of a permanent mechanism to discuss Russia-African topics constantly. And that is how the Russia-Africa Ministerial Conference was established for the Russia-Africa Partnership Forum. And its first edition opened today in the Russian city of Sochi. Amongst the foreign ministers in attendance is External Relations Minister Mbela Mbela, who met with his Russian counterpart Sergei Lavrov on a bilateral basis to discuss issues between Cameroon and Russia. Apart from talking consular issues, they equally discussed security, as terrorism is one of the key factors determining relationship between Russia and Africa, and Cameroon in particular. Humanitarian topics equally featured, and education was also on the agenda, noting that Russia has increased its scholarship schemes for African students, Cameroon included. External Relations Minister Mbelambela is participating in the summit to represent Cameroon, as relations between Cameroon and Russia are increasing day by day.
Charles Ebune reporting. As you heard in one of our top stories, the Mezam branch of the Cameroon National Youth Council in the Northwest region has reviewed 107 youth-led business projects, selecting the top 25 for an exhibition on November 22nd at the upcoming Youth Great Minds Summit at the Bamenda Regional Assembly, Esplanade. Council President Reverend Diphon Peterson Kimbu stated that the selected projects, focusing on agriculture, arts and crafts, and technological innovation, will receive funding to boost youth employment and entrepreneurship. Jolenta Rose Afanui has the details from CRTV Northwest.
The business projects focus on producing and commercializing local products, significantly reducing unemployment in the region. The president of the Cameroon National Youth Council in Mezam Division, Reverend Ndifon Peterson Kimbu, details that the initiative promotes self-employment and reduces reliance on government.
We are trying to give them connections to people who can mentor them, coach them, and guide them towards the success of their business, and also with the agencies we have in our government. Those are channels which the youths can come up with credible ideas and have funding.
Some youths who've been involved in local productions explain that the social unrest and lack of capital are some of the challenges they face in carrying out their projects.
When I'm a little more, I buy my materials someday. I think I can produce shoes. Right now, I don't have a steady place to work due to the financial challenges.
I started actually by taking egg in few cartons and supplying all the cartons. The challenges I actually face, some breakage. Since I do the transportation using bikes, it breaks a lot.
Officials of the National Youth Council in Mezam reiterate that the exhibition exercise is expected for the 22nd of November 2024 at the Regional Assembly Upstation, Bamenda. Jalenta Rose Afanui, CRTV News, Bamenda.
With just days until the Douala Economic Forum kicks off in the nation's economic capital, preparations are on the way for the third edition to run from November 11 to 15 at the Sawa Cultural House. This year's theme, Transport Logistics and the Real Estate Industry, as elements of attractiveness of the city of Douala, highlights efforts to harness science and practical skills to address Douala's urbanization's challenges. Roslyn Fosa reports from CRTV Littoral.
Douala, the economic capital of Cameroon, wants to reposition itself as a business hub within the sub-region and beyond. Yet, current challenges can slow down this objective. Facilitating transport logistics and also solving housing issues, despite the real estate boom observed lately, is a sure means of overcoming these challenges. At the Douala Economic Forum, scientists and operational stakeholders will brainstorm on appropriate solutions. Professor Desiré Avom is president of the scientific committee.
Scientific research contributes to boosting opportunities which Douala offers in terms of investment, and scientific reflection is needed to come up with a solution to help tackle import substitution challenges.
A forum open to all economic actors and decentralized local authorities. The policy of import substitution in the territories will be discussed. Roger Mbassadine is mayor of the city of Douala.
As the mayor of the city of Douala, I invite every business actor from Cameroon and beyond wishing to invest in Douala to answer present.
Participants at the five-day business gathering will be expected to implement the recommendations arrived at if they will want to create a positive impact in their respective sectors. Roslyn Fosa, CRTV News, Douala.
The mayor of the Nganga Council in the Adamawa region has officially presented a newly purchased grader aimed at improving the roads in the area, especially those that connect farms to market. Muhammadu Awalum, during the ceremony, attended by administrative and traditional authorities, declared that the grader adds to other road construction equipment purchased by the council in a significant step to address one of the community's most pressing concerns, the state of the roads. Alice Wajibanmia reports from CRTV Adamawa.
For several months, the Nganga population voiced their frustrations over deteriorating road conditions, with many farmers struggling to transport their produce to market, leading to delays, damage to goods, and financial losses. The situation is critical. When it rains, we can't move our goods. When we try, we record accidents due to bad roads. The decision to purchase the grader for 150 million CFA francs follows multiple complaints and requests for action, as the grader will play a vital role in easing the burden of those who rely on these roads for their livelihoods. Muhammadu Awalu is mayor of Nganga. This new equipment will not only help maintain roads year-round, but also ensure that local farmers and residents can travel safely and efficiently, particularly during the rainy seasons when roads tend to worsen. With the blessings of the people of the land, the new grader is expected to begin work immediately, starting with the most critical roads and ensuring that they remain passable and safe for everyone. Alice Wajibanmia, CRTV News, Nganga.
You are listening to the 10 p.m. news from the national station of the Cameroon Radio Television, CRTV. Out of Cameroon, Nigeria has announced that free emergency cesarean sections will be made available to poor and vulnerable women in an ambitious plan to bring down the high number of mothers dying in childbirth. At over 1,000 deaths per 100,000 live births, Africa's most populous nation has the fourth highest maternal mortality rate in the world, and the lack of access to cesareans is thought to be one of the reasons. Many pregnant women, particularly in rural Nigeria, are unable to receive emergency medical care, partly due to the cost. In sports, Cameroon has won her first medal at the ongoing World Sambo Championship in Kazakhstan. The former 2-times world champion Jimolu Seydou won bronze for the country after losing in the semi-final of the minus 98 kg category combat sambo to Muratov Uzukbek from Uzbekistan. Ben Collins Nyoiberiwo is CRTV special envoy to Kazakhstan.
Cameroon is for now carrying the reputation of Mother Africa in the ongoing World Sambo Championship here in Astana, Kazakhstan. Jimolu Seydou won bronze, the first medal for the country and the continent in the 49th World Sambo Championship that is taking place at the Zak Silik Uskenpirov Martial Art Palace in Astana. The former 2-times world champion came with the ambition of defending that title. After winning his first two fights, Jimolu Seydou, who is fondly called the White Lion, dropped his weapons in the semi-final of the minus 98 kilograms category combat sambo in front of a brutal Muratov Uzotbek from Uzbekistan. His defeat this afternoon added to those of three other Cameroonian athletes earlier today, Frank Meyong, Tajuga Frank, and Fokam William. So far, apart from bronze medalist Jimolu Seydou, six Cameroonian athletes have been eliminated after fierce battles. The hopes for other medals for the country now rest on the shoulders of Gerard Van Liendam, Besala Owono Joseph, and Celestine Bidazanga, who will fight this Sunday. The president of the Cameroon Sambo Federation, Francois Mbassi, came with words of encouragement after Seydou's semi-final exit. Reporting from the Zak Silik Uskenpirov Martial Art Palace for the CRTV, I am Ben Collins Nyoiberiwo.
And that does it for the 10 p.m. news presented by Hortensia Ngam.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello, I'm Lydia, and I would like to welcome you to Learning by Ear and the second part of our radio drama series about road safety. Throughout our 10 programs, we are following the Wanjiru family and a period in their lives where they see and experience how dangerous traffic can be, with sometimes tragic consequences. We're also talking to a road safety expert to find out how we can make traveling on the road safer and crucially save lives. In the last episode, Samuel refused to put safety belts into his minibus despite new government regulations. His minibus was in a fatal accident. Two passengers were killed, and two passengers, including his son Nelson, were seriously injured. If they had all been wearing seatbelts, they may have been okay. In this episode, Nelson's grandfather, Peter, is taking Nelson's mother, Pamela, to visit Nelson in hospital. Even though his grandson is injured in hospital, Peter drives recklessly and takes unnecessary risks on the journey.
I still feel sick every time I think about Nelson and the accident. To think two people died. I know Nelson has a neck injury, but it could have been him. And to think it was his own father who was driving. How will he ever forgive himself?
It's gonna be a tough time, and that's if the police don't prosecute Samuel. Pamela, let's just hope Nelson gets well soon, and that there aren't other expensive complications.
Daddy, it's the drivers in this city. The roads are bad enough, it's true. But the drivers, they just don't care even about staying alive, it seems. They take unnecessary risks with other people's lives as well.
No one is taught how to respect the rules these days. When I was younger, you had to really work to pass your driving test. Nowadays, it seems people can almost buy their way through. And it seems size rules. These big 4x4 think they own the roads and bully everyone else. What happened there? Are you okay?
Oh my God, that pickup came right into our lane. If you hadn't driven off the road, we'd have hit him. What was he doing?
Well, I feel quite shaken by that. But I think the car is okay. Shall we go, Pamela?
If you can get there in one piece, these roads are just lethal. You're just in the middle of saying how these big 4x4 cars think they rule the roads. And look what happened. He just overtook without a second thought of us coming towards him.
We'd better get a move on. We'll miss the visiting hours of the hospital otherwise.
Sure. At least we are off the main road now. These country lanes are a bit windy, but at least there's less traffic. Apart from these lorries. Are we going to be stuck behind this one all the way up the hill?
No, Pamela, we're not. I'll try and overtake him.
But can you see what's coming, Daddy?
Not quite. I think it looks okay. Oh! Ooh! Yeah. My, that was close. I'll try now again.
Daddy, I really don't think we should be overtaking like this. I mean, there's a long queue of traffic and this road is really windy, so you can't survey it properly and you're traveling uphill. Let's just be patient and wait until we get to the top of the hill. I think I'd rather get to the hospital late than not at all.
We can't just wait behind these trucks. Look, everyone else is overtaking. It's fine.
Daddy, if you can't see, please don't risk it.
I told you, it's fine, Pamela. Everyone else does it. Don't worry.
Daddy, that was close again. Your car doesn't even have enough acceleration to get by quickly enough. Don't overtake again. Don't, I said. No, look out, Daddy. That truck is pulling out too. No!
Pamela, I need you to try to move your fingers. Can you hear me, Pamela?
My head hurts. It hurts. Where am I? Where?
You're in the hospital, Pamela. And I'm your nurse. The doctor will be here soon. You were brought in after your car rolled over. You have injured your back, which is why I'm asking you to try and move your fingers. Can you do that for me?
I think so.
Yes, I can.
You're lucky. Your back isn't broken. We've put you on a drip to give you some painkillers. You were unconscious, you know.
What about my father-in-law, Peter? And... ow! And my son, Nelson. We were on our way to the hospital to see my son.
They're okay. Well, your son came to see you. He was in the ward upstairs, but they've just discharged him. He's waiting outside with your father-in-law. You are lucky, you know. The car you are in is totally wrecked.
What? Oh, my God. That car is a taxi and my father-in-law's business. Ow. How will he earn any money? And my husband, he almost lost his minibus in an accident yesterday. Ow. The police are questioning him too.
Maybe they'll both drive more safely now. I lose count of how many people we see in this hospital who've been in car accidents. Some live here alive, many don't. You're one of the lucky ones, you know.
Mom!
Nelson!
Oh, Mom.
Oh, Nelson. How are you? Come here.
Mom.
Are you okay?
I think so. And what about you? I can't believe what's been going on. What's happening to us, Mom? Why are we involved in this awful accident? And Dad, where is he? Why hasn't he come to see me?
He's in shock, Nelson. He can't forgive himself for what happened. He's being questioned by the police, and we don't know what they're going to do. Just as soon as I'm given the green light to leave the hospital, we'll all go home. We just need some time all together to talk things through. Away from hospitals and roads.
Well, as you've just heard in the second episode of our radio drama about road safety, another member of the Wanjiru family has ended up in hospital. With me in the studio is Gilbert, our road safety expert. Gilbert, welcome.
Thank you, Lydia. Thank you.
Gilbert, you've just listened to the second episode. And again, the injured person is a passenger who was pleading with the driver to drive more carefully before the accident happened. It seems the passenger has absolutely no control over their safety.
Worryingly, that does seem to be the case. Pamela was warning Peter to slow down and not overtake as she felt he could not see round the bends. She was right, and she's the one who has ended up in hospital.
So why did the driver continue to overtake round a bend when he couldn't see oncoming traffic? And why didn't he listen to his passenger?
Lydia, this is something we see a lot in Africa. Aggressive driving, no regard for other people on the road, no regard for the passenger's views.
Mm-hmm. And what about the oncoming vehicle?
Head-on collisions are some of the worst collisions, especially at speed. And generally, if you're overtaking, you're traveling at high speeds. So the combination of overtaking high speed and overtaking round a bend with no clear vision is absolutely lethal.
People are in such a hurry these days, they don't stop to think about consequences.
Exactly. And I would say that on the roads, people who are driving under pressure or are in a hurry are far more likely to have accidents. Overtaking is one of the major causes of these accidents. You should always have a good view of what is ahead before overtaking.
Thank you, Gilbert, for coming into the studio.
Thank you.